بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الأطيبين الأنجبين، بهم نتولى ومن أعدائهم نتبرأ إلى الله. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك توعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. The Almighty in Quran says that الخبيثات للخبيثين والخبيثون للخبيثات والطيبات للطيبين والطيبون للطيبات. The literal translation of this pure ayah is that the bad women are for the bad men, and the bad men, they are for the bad women. And then says that the good women are for the good men, and the bad and the good men are for the good women. Or, in easier words, pure for the pure, bad for the bad, good for the good, evil for the evil. And both of these realities, that is, the tayyib and the khabees, the good and the bad, the pure and the impure, they are designated in every stage of our life. We find them throughout our life. And a pure human being, a pure man, a pure woman, the pure actions, the pure deeds, the pure intentions, the pure wealth, whatever which is good, it ends up to good, it ascends, it elevates. As it was mentioned yesterday, إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَمِيلٌ وَيُحِبُّ كُلَّ جَمَالٍ, that Allah is beautiful and He loves every beauty. Every good intention ascends, elevates and gets to Allah. Every good deed, all prayers, all fasts, all services, we shouldn't take anything small for granted. Even if it is as small as a pin, as they say, see a pin and pick it up, it is something good. Even that tiny and minute goodness, it elevates, it ascends and gets to God. There is a hadith mentioned in Usul al-Kafi, says that وَالْجَنَّةُ لَا يَدْخُلُهَا إِلَّا الطَّيِّبُ, that the heaven, the paradise, nothing but that what is pure will enter that paradise. If it is a human being, if he is pure, he will enter. Prayers will enter, fasts will enter, everything which is good will enter. This question might come to your mind that how come so many people doing all the good things, but how come they can't enter the paradise? What will happen to the good deeds that they have performed? I will shed some light on this later on today. If not, then tomorrow. So in this hadith, Ma'soom, he says that وَالْجَنَّةُ لَا يَدْخُلُهَا إِلَّا الطَّيِّبُ, that only the pure will enter the paradise. To end up in the paradise, there is no way but with purification. It is our aqeedah, we believe that someone whose usool are complete and perfect, that is the fundamentals, faith in one God, in the prophethood and in the day of judgment. Someone whose usool are perfect and complete but furu were lacking, he had problems with in practicing them. For such an individual, our belief is that he will be punished for a duration of time. How long? We don't know. After that he has seen his punishment, he will be sent to the paradise. Why? Because basically he is pure. There are some shortcomings, some wrongdoings which need to be corrected. Once that has been taken away and he is further purified, he will ascend. وَالْجَنَّةُ لَا يَدْخُلَهَا إِلَّا الطَّيِّبُ. Quran, it rejects everything which is contaminated, which is not pure, and says that that will not elevate, that will not ascend, and that will not get into the paradise. Well, if it is pure, it will ascend. If it's not pure, if homes hasn't been paid from that, or it's something contaminated from evil income, wrongdoings, that wealth will never ascend. Riba, interest, that will never ascend. No matter what cover we give to it, it will never ascend. Yesterday it was mentioned regarding the representative of our 11th Imam, Ahmad bin Ishaq Qumi, who in his last trip to Samarra, he dies, and to whom the shroud, the personal shroud of our 11th Imam was sent by him. Before his last trip where he dies, he has a trip to Samarra, and he comes to the Imam, meets the Imam, and had all the funds which he had collected from the Mu'mineen in Qum, the Khums money, the Zakat, etc., and he gave it to the Imam, all packed in different packages. And then he says to the Imam that these eyes of mine, will they see your successor, the Imam after you, will they see him? Now he is a representative of an Imam. Being a representative of an Imam is something of a great caliber, an honor. Not everyone becomes that. Imam says, yes, you will. Was sitting by the door and he calls his son, a young 3-year-old, 5-year-old child. And then says, Ishaq, this is the 12th Imam which your eyes wanted to see. Now he is a bit shocked. How come no one was aware until then? And then he says, this is what the people from Qom, from Iran, they have sent. There is Qoms, there is Zakat, there are the Nuzurat, and all these funds have come from there. And then Imam, he instructs his son, which is the 12th Imam, and says, check them and tell what is in there to my representative, which is Ahmad bin Ishaq. Imam, he says that, how much is present over there? How much is present over there? And then he says, this is pure, this is not, this is clean, this is najis. And out of all those packages, just a very tiny amount, he said, was pure. So, only pure elevates, only pure ascends, and only pure ends up in the paradise. Regarding this, Quran says, وَأَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ, that when it comes to infaq, when it comes to charity, when it comes to paying, giving, teaching, preaching, or when it comes to services in whatever way, in whatever manner, says, مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ, what you love, you give. Not that what is left over, or as it was mentioned the other day, it was the seerah of the 8th Imam that when the food was laid, he picked and he set aside the best from the table for the fuqara. وَأَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. And then he says that, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ, that Allah, He buys from mu'mineen their souls, their lives, and their wealth. What does it mean that He buys? He buys. And He buys at a lavish price. Buys from a mu'min his wealth, which is pure. Not every wealth. He buys from a mu'min a soul which is not contaminated, which is pure. And then, as a result, he gives him the paradise. A mu'min is aware, he possesses ma'rifah, he knows Qur'an, and knows that whatever he is spending away from his time, from his life, from his money, from his abilities, whatever he has, it's being spent in the way of God. If it is good, it will elevate. If it is pure, it will end up pure. Among the things that we have been emphasized, it says that al-kaddu li'ayali kal-mujahid fi sabilillah. That someone who strives for his wife, for his children, works hard so that they are easy, they are well off. He strives, struggles for their welfare, for their prosperity. Ma'asum says that it is as if he is a mujahid in the way of Allah. Mujahid fi sabilillah, it is that highest rank that could be given to someone which is shaheed. The highest rank. And someone who strives for his wife and children, for their welfare and prosperity, Allah says to him also that high rank will be given. Like the buying of the ammunition from a soldier and a warrior, and then he blesses them with the paradise, says, from this person who serves his wife and children, from them also, I will buy in the same way, in the same manner. Pure for the pure, impure for the impure. Now in this short lifespan that we have to try and do something, we have to be smart. That as much as it is possible, we should collect, we should accumulate for our hereafter. The more we get, the more we benefit. There are little things that if we give importance to them, they make our livelihood more nurani and enlighten us. For example, if you are to sit somewhere, if someone who is smart, he sits facing Qibla, well, it's just a sitting. But facing Qibla, if he sits, he gets that sawab, that reward. Or with this tongue, zikr to be uttered as much as it is possible. Salawats or azkar that are mentioned in Quran. If nothing, subhanallah. If nothing, Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillah. Instead of having that tongue sitting idle in the mouth, all these recitals to be uttered. You don't have to have a tasbih, a sabha in your hand. Just keep the tongue occupied with these azkar. If not, at least meditation. So that way he is smart enough and starts getting as much as the thawab which is possible. Or being in tahara at all times, being in wuzu at all times. There is a hadith which says that someone who is without wuzu, it is as if he is being disloyal to Allah. And says that someone who performs a wuzu, again he is disloyal. And then says, if someone was without wuzu, performs a wuzu, and if he does not offer a two-rakat prayer, again he is being disloyal to me. And if he does all the stages, performs a two-rakat prayer, and then if he asks Allah and Allah does not respond to him, says it is Allah who is being disloyal to that servant, وَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّنْ جَعَفْ, and I am not a disloyal Lord. So taharat at all times, that too plays an important part in the enlightenment of an individual. Now we have du'as for everything. Now I'll remind you of a du'a for hacking. You might not have heard that. Now I have heard this, but I haven't had the chance to look up in the books. Well, in any case, if someone wants to hack the a'mal of another person, for example, throughout the day, I didn't get an opportunity to do as much as I could, but other mu'mineen, they have done. Says the report that if after your wajib prayers, you recite 10 times Suratul Qadr, all that which you could not perform during the day, till that moment, and others have performed, you will get the reward of everything which everyone has done without you performing them, just by the recitation of that 10 Suratul Qadr after your wajib prayers. So that again, it's another thing that if we have it in mind. So, pure for the pure, tayyib for what I give an impure for impure. مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ كَمَثَلِ حَبَّةٍ أَنْبَتَتْ سَبْعَ سَنَابِلَ فِي كُلِّ سُنْبُلَةٍ مِئَةْ حَبَّةٍ وَاللَّهُ يُضَاعِفُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ. Says if someone for the sake of Allah truly, sincerely gives away a dirham, a dollar, says Allah, I will reward him 700 times. I will buy that from that mu'min at a lavish price. And again, that is based upon the intention of that individual. If the intention was super sincere, then he says that not 700, I buy it of him for 70,000, that $1. Sometimes he says that I'll buy it of him for 700,000. And other ayat, they say that at an unlimited lavish price, وَاللَّهُ يُضَاعِفُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ, at a lavish price. Now, when he buys something from mu'mineen, the deeds, the rituals, the services that are performed in the community, does anything lessen from his kingdom? Nothing. لَا تَنْقُسُ خَزَائِنُهُ. Nothing lessens from his kingdom, a kingdom which he himself has brought into existence. When we spend our funds, they lessen. But when Allah spends, it increases. For example, the sun that he has created for us in this huge, big universe, in this solar system, the sun is playing the center part. Size-wise, they say that it is a million times bigger than this earth. Age-wise, scientists, they say that the sun has been there for about 6 billion years. Now, the sun that has been providing light and heat not only to this earth, to all the other planets, which is Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Pluto, etc., to all of them, for that much time, how come nothing lessens from that sun, from that energy? If it was just an ordinary light or an ordinary means of energy, it should have come to an end after a certain time. But how come that sun doesn't come to an end? Says, in the sun he has created that helium which reproduces and then generates, and it just continues and continues until Allah wishes and wants that to continue. Allah, whatever is given to him sincerely, says that that elevates, that ascends, and he buys it at a lavish price, and the good is for good, pure is for pure. If you look into the story of Prophet Nuh, he is instructed to make that ark, that ship, and all the passengers to be boarded on, and says that whosoever embarks on that ark will find salvation. Whosoever does not get onto that ship will be ruined and drowned. And then the ayah says that وَمَنْ آمَنَ وَمَا آمَنَ مَعَهُ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ. Just a few got onto that ship. Who were they? It were the pure for the pure. And then Prophet Nuh, he says that, God, I've got my son there. Allah says, he's not your son. He may be materially your son, but the reality is that morally he should be connected and linked to you. Because he is not morally connected to you, he is not your son. After all, he's a father, a son, 25, 26 years of age, the sea, everything flooding, water pouring from the skies. And then the son, when the father says, come on, get on this ship, he says that I will find salvation. I will get on to that mountain which is high up, and I will climb as much as I can, and this water will never get to me. قَالَ سَآوِي إِلَى الْجَبَلْ يَعْسِمُنِي مِنَ الْمَا. That mountain will protect me. God says that no mountain ever protects. Or even if you look into the history of all these dictators who lived, For example, the Shah of Iran ruled for 37 years. And then when he was in his last days, comes to the US ambassador in Tehran and says that I served for 37 years. These people are kicking me out from my own country. The King of Kings says no entry to the US. So he sought support from a mountain, and Allah says a mountain never helps. Someone who is a fake lord, that never helps. A support should be a support which is Allah. If support is a true support, it will help. Or Saddam, the same thing. After all that rule, or Shah's father, he ruled for about 40 years. And when he was in the end of his, in his last days, was exiled to Mauritius, was exiled to South Africa, and ends up there. So, someone who seeks refuge not in the true Lord, that is the end. Quran says, Nuh's son, he sought refuge in that mountain, and mountain cannot help. Says that, وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, that mu'mineen, the believers, they should have that tawakkul, the reliance in Allah. For Allah, it is not as such that if he wants to knock someone down, a big rock of 20-30 kilograms should fall on his head so that he is killed. No. If he intends, small birds with tiny pebbles as tiny as a grain can fall on to the huge big elephants and they could die. Ababil in Surah Al-Fil. So support only from Allah, good deeds end up to Allah, bad never end up to Allah. And when Prophet Nuh says that God, he is my son, I want to help him. Allah, he is strong, and says that لَا مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ إِنِّي أَعَذُكَ أَن تَكُونَ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ. Nuh, you do not know. You haven't got that knowledge. If you don't listen, or if you invite your son to embark, don't make it as such that I register your name among the ignorants. Allah says to his beloved Prophet, someone to whom a Sharia has been given, someone who has served for 950 years, says that with strong words. Now, because Prophet Nuh was strong, he could bear these words of Allah, that if you don't be as such that I register your name among the ignorants. If it was someone else, he would have perished there and then with these strong words of Allah. So purity, the essence of purity, it elevates towards Allah wheresoever may it be, it elevates and ends up with Haqq. That man kana yuridu al-izzata fa inna al-izzata lillah jami'a. And then says, إِلَيْهِ يَسْعَدُ الْكَلِمُ الطَّيِّبُ وَالْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ يَرْفَعُهُ. That everything which is pure, it elevates to Allah. وَالْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ يَرْفَعُهُ. And every good deed and action, that too elevates and ascends. This ayah, it is a moral lesson to us that everything ends up to the pure God. In a report, a person, he comes to our sixth Imam, and this is 100 years after the tragedy of Karbala. And he says to the Imam that someone who wants to visit Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, must he go to Karbala? Must he go to Karbala? And Imam in reply, he says that in Karbala, it's only the shrine and the grave of Aba Abdullah. And if you truly want to visit Aba Abdullah, his rank is in Allah. His rank is with Allah. Why? Because he gave away everything which he possessed, and that ascends, that elevates, and someone who wants to visit him has to go in the law. Where is that? That is the headquarters of his rule, of his throne. إِلَيْهِ يَسْعَدُ الْكَلِمُ الطَّيِّبُ وَالْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ يَرْفَعُهُ. Or when we recite ayatul tathir or the ziyarat, we say that ashhadu annaka kunta nuran fil asnab ash-shamikha wal arham al-mutahhara. On many occasions to our imams, especially to our fifth and the sixth imam, says that we are your Shias. In our lives, once in a while, there are these wrongdoings, there is this contamination, there are these sins, but in fact, we never oppose you. The heart is with you, but there are these wrongdoings again. We come to your shrines, we offer our prayers, we recite the du'as, we attend the majalis, but again, that wrong, that bad also exists in us. What will happen to that? The ayat and the riwayat that we have, and as it was mentioned earlier, that wrong that exists in us will never elevate to the heavens, because Quran says, pure to the pure. Pure deeds ascend, pure actions ascend. What will happen to that? Once the punishment has been seen, a person will elevate. Now what about all the other good things that every other person has done and whose usul are lacking, whose usul are faulty, or as the criteria that was set, the usul are not acceptable, but there are some good deeds that a person who wasn't a Shia, he has performed. What will happen to that? All these prayers that are being offered, all these hajjs that are being done, what will happen to that? Quran says, riwayat say that the good deeds that have been performed by others whose usul are lacking, on the day of judgment, the bad from those who have whose usul were done, were correct, will be replaced by the good of them. So the bad, it can never go to the heaven. The good has to go. So the good from them will be taken and given to these. The bad from them will be taken and given to them, and they will be assigned the hell and they will be assigned the heaven. Now there is no zulm in this, there is no tyranny in this, there is no oppression in that. And this is something which is certified from Quran, and Quran says that لِيَمِيزَ اللَّهُ الْخَبِيثَ مِنَ الطَّيِّبِ وَيَجْعَلَ الْخَبِيثَ بَعْضَهُ عَنَى بَعْضٍ فَيَرْكُمُهُ جَمِيعًا فَيَجْعَلُهُ فِي جَهَنَّمْ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. Or elsewhere says that وَنِزَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنْ غِلْ, that mu'mineen, they should elevate and ascend because they are pure. Pure should end up in the pure heavens. Again says that وَنِزَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنَ الْغِلْ, that whatever bad exists in them will be seized and taken away, replaced with the good that was done by others whose bases were faulty. One, لِأَنَّ الْجَنَّةَ لَا يَدْخُلُهَا إِلَّا الطَّيِّبِ, because in the paradise only the pure and the tayyib, they are allowed to enter. So الْخَبِيثَاتُ لِلْخَبِيثِينَ وَالْخَبِيثُونَ لِلْخَبِيثَاتِ وَالطَّيِّبَاتُ لِلْطَيِّبِينَ وَالطَّيِّبُونَ لِلْطَيِّبَاتِ. In a report from the Prophet of Islam, he says that on the Day of Judgment, because the ayah says that bad ends up bad, evil ends up in the hell, says that like a hen which comes out and picks its grain from the earth, its sustenance and food, on the Day of Judgment, the fire, the hellfire, it will engulf around the mahshar and it will suck away all those who are bad, like that hen which picks and chooses the grains. How can that suck away? It's that bad which takes away that bad, evil which sucks out that evil, and tayyib, they will end up in the paradise. So pure for the pure, which is pure in the heavens, pure actions they ascend, pure deeds they ascend, salat it ascends, prayers, du'as, all these ascend, and everything negative descends and ends up in the hell. I'll continue this topic inshallah tomorrow. Tomorrow is the 40th day of this tragedy of Karbala, which is the day of Arba'een. And for the day of Arba'een, there is a ziyarah to be recited. Inshallah, we'll recite that tonight and also tomorrow. And it is amazing that Zainab, salamullah alayha, when she is to embark and disembark throughout this journey, now throughout her life she has 7 journeys. Just 4 or 5 of them she traveled in that utmost dignity and honor. The rest were a disaster. Says that when she was to embark and disembark with all due respect, it were the Ahlul Bayt who were there to serve the women. Some of them held the curtain, one of them helped her to embark, others seated her. And when they got to their destination, again it was on one side Abul Fadl al-Abbas to help her, someone to hold that carriage. And again Abu Abdullah al-Hussein assisted her to come down. But after this tragedy of Karbala, it wasn't as such. It wasn't as such. She was lashed, she was beaten, and with that utmost disrespect. And again, no one to help, no one to assist, no one to hold, to get on to that ride. If we were told that, well, the Prophet of Islam, he says that if someone cries for Hazrat Zainab, it is as if he has cried and wept for both Hassan and Hussein. If we were told that she is to come to this center today, what would we do? The best of rugs that we possess at home, we will lay them out. Not in the center, out on the roads, in the streets. Not for her to put her feet on it, not for her footwear to be on it, but for the ride which is going to carry her to the center, for that ride to roll on that best rug that we possess. But that wasn't the case. From the 9th or the 10th, the day of Ashura, until this caravan of Noor and light, it comes back to Medina. Tomorrow they come to Karbala, and again there is a long journey from there and then to Medina. When she is to embark, she looks at the bodies in the desert, everyone laying there, all those bodies beheaded, everyone shattered, shaken, tense. And she is reminded of that time that when it was the rule of her father, Khalifatul Muslimin, how honor she embarked. After this day of Arba'een, when this caravan of light, it moves on and comes to Medina. When they come nearer to the vicinity of Medina, upon the instructions of Imam Sajjad, he says that let's not go to Medina and settle down here, which is outside Medina. Because the people of Medina, they were not aware that this caravan of light, it is coming to Medina. No one was informed. And it was as such that Ibn Ziyad, he did inform the people of Medina about the tragedy of Karbala, but Yazid and his informers, they hid, and people did not have that knowledge, the right news of this tragedy and event of Karbala that had unfolded on the Ashura, day of Ashura. Imam instructs that this caravan of light sets down outside Medina, and he says to the women and children to relax. And there he says to Bashir bin Jazlam, who was a poet, says that, Bashir, I want you to go to Medina and inform the people there of what has happened. Bashir takes the horse and immediately upon the instructions of the Imam, he sets off to Medina without delay. Comes to Medina, weeping, crying, informing the people of Medina that Sayyidi Shuhada Abu Abdullah al-Hussein has passed away, has been killed. And then he says, everyone to get into the mosque, into the Masjid al-Nabi, the mosque of the Prophet. And there when everyone gathers, he starts his qasida saying that, Ya Ahla Yathrib, La Maqam Alakum, قتل الحسين فدمعي مدرار الجسم منه بكربلاء والرأس منه على القناة يدار. Says that, O people, Medina is no place to dwell. Medina is no place to dwell with all this pain. Hussein has been killed, shed tears like rain. His body is wounded, soaked in blood, his head on javelin in streets, in lanes. Upon this, there is an aza, a mourning in the mosque, and everyone starts crying, Wa Husayna, Wa Mazluma. And it was as such that the entire city of Medina was in aza and in mourning. Everyone is shaken. The daily schedule of the people of Medina changes. Everyone is worried. They come to Bashir and say that, where is the Imam? Where is Imam Sajjad? Where is Zainab? Where is Zainab? And after all these afflictions, they say that Zainab, Umm al-Masa'ib, she has seen all these afflictions, and where is Sajjad? Bashir gives him the address of the location where they have settled, set down. And they inquire, where is Abbas? Where is Ali Akbar? Where is Aun? Where is Muhammad? Says everyone has been perished. It is only Imam Sajjad among the men that have remained, and he is outside Medina. People, they rush towards that location where, because people of Medina, they loved Ahlul Bayt. They rush to that location where Imam is there and the household had settled down. Bashir, who was riding a horse, who came to Medina, and now that he wants to go back, he says that the people were so many as if a swarm, a big mob, that this ride of mine couldn't gallop and couldn't move. I had to sit down. I walked with them until we came to the Imam. And there each one person extends his condolences and aza to the Imam, and then Imam wants to talk to them. He, with his hand, points out to them to observe silence and gives out a lengthy sermon. I'll just recite a few phrases from them. And then says the Imam, أيها القول, O people, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ إِبْتَلَانَا بِمَصَائِبَ جَلِيلًا. It is amazing that how come after all these afflictions and banas, whenever Ahlul Bayt are asked, they never say it was a bala, it was an affliction, it was something bad. If you look into a khutbah of Hazrat Zainab, when that mal'oon, he mocks at her and says that, praise be to God who defamed you in this wretched way, and how did you see what God has done to you? She in reply says, Ma ra'aytu illa jameela. That whatever I saw was beautiful. Whatever I saw was wonderful. Now what is that wonderful? What is beautiful in that whole tragedy of Karbala? If you analyze from day 2 till the day 10, and from day 10 when they move on from that one, from Karbala to Kufa and then Sham and coming back to Medina, what beauty is there? It's either spears, it's either arrows, it's either being killed, blood toil, beheaded. There's nothing beautiful over there. Tents being burnt, children being lashed, or someone dying, someone being buried here and there. There is no beauty in that. Beauty, she says that, Ma ra'aytu illa jameela, whatever I saw was wonderful, whatever I saw was beautiful. The beauty of Karbala, which she talks about, is that when a person was hit and giving away his life, Abu Abdullah al-Husayn, he comes by the body of that person and says that, what is your wasiyah, what is your will? And he, instead of reciting his wasiyah and will, says that, Imam, our faithu, have I been loyal to you? Have I fulfilled my promise? Are you pleased with me? She says, that is the beauty of Karbala. Ma ra'aytu illa jameela. On that eve of Ashura, when he puts off the light and he says that, go, that allegiance of mine, which is my right, I take it away, you can go away. Each one of the Sahabi, one of them says that, Imam, you want me to flee away, leave you? If I was killed 70 times, brought back to life 70 times, yet I will not leave you. Another person says, 1,000 times if I was killed and massacred in the worst way, if I was chopped and sliced into 1,000 pieces, brought back to life, still I will not leave you. Zainab says, Ma ra'aytu illa jameela. That is the beauty of Karbala, that even in the most severe and the toughest circumstances, everyone is with God. That tawakkul is seen, that reliance is seen, that God is seen until the last moment of Abu Abdullah's life. Or even when you see after Abu Abdullah al-Husayn has collapsed, has perished, has been beheaded, when she comes by the body of her brother, she doesn't lament, she doesn't weep, she doesn't cry. The first thing she says that, رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا هَذَا الْقُرْبَانِ, that God accept this sacrifice from us. And then she starts weeping and crying and lamenting. That is, مَا رَأَيْتُ إِلَّا جَمِيلًا, whatever I saw was beautiful. That is the beauty of Karbala. In this khutbah over here, Imam, he says that, in that Allah, praise be to Him, glory be to Him, ابتلانا, He afflicted us with a lot of afflictions, with masa'ib jaleela. And then says, and then these atrocities that were afflicted to us, after that he says, قُتِلَ أَبُو عَبْدِ اللَّهِ الْحُسَيْنِ وَعِتْرَتُهُ, Hussein and his itra and his family members, they were all killed. In addition to that, وَسُبْيَ نِسَاءُهُ وَسِبْيَتُهُ, and his household, the members of his household, were all taken into captivity. And continues and says that, وَدَارُوا بِرَأْسِهِ فِي الْبُلْدَانِ مِنْ فَوْتَ عَامِلِ السَّنَانِ, and this household was taken from town to town with the head of Abu Abdullah on a spear, on a javelin, from town to town. وَهَذِهِ الرَّزِيَّةُ الَّتِي لَا مِثْلُهَا رَزِيَّةٌ, and such an atrocity never existed, nor can be described or defined. And then says, أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ, O people, فَأَيُّ رِجَالَاتٍ مِّنْكُمْ يُسِرُّونَ بَعْدَ قَتْلٍ, after listening to this news, and that is the murder and the killing of Abu Abdullah, which one of you is happy? Which one of you is pleased? And says, أَمْ أَيُّ فُعَادٍ لَا يَحْزِنُ مِنْ أَجْلِهِ, is there a heart which is not disturbed? Is there a heart which is not hurt after these afflictions upon Abu Abdullah? And then says that, أَمْ أَيَّتُ عَيْنٍ مِنْكُمْ تَحْتَسُ تَمَعَهَا وَتَظِنُّ عَنْهَا, and then says that, is there an eye that could hold back the tears from these afflictions that were afflicted upon us? أَلَا لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلَبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ. اللهم أحينا حياة محمد وآل محمد وأمتنا ممات محمد وآل محمد. اللهم ارزقنا في الدنيا زيارة محمد وآل محمد وفي الآخرة شفاعة محمد وآل محمد.
واجعلنا من أنصار محمد وآل محمد. اللهم لعن أول ظالم ظلم حق محمد وآل محمد. ماتم حسين.